Well, this morning as we turn to Acts chapter 6, I want to begin by asking you a question. What do Hugh Latimer and Askew, William Tyndale, Jim Elliot have in common with Stephen, the deacon of Acts chapter 6? And the answer is they all died in faith, and for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived in different times, in different eras, but they all faced the same fate of standing for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and dying at the hands of those that opposed them. Hugh Latimer, of course, was an English bishop back in the 16th century who took his stand against the Roman Catholicism of Queen Mary and was burned at the stake at Oxford for his faith. Anne Askew was one of the many Protestant women who died for their faith also in the 16th century. A young woman of the age of 25, she was tortured upon the rack. And if you don't know what the rack was, you were stretched over a rack and they sought to pull all of your joints out of place, a terrible torture. But she was tortured on the rack in an attempt to cause her to abandon her faith in Christ alone. And she fearlessly answered her interrogators with scriptural accuracy. She was offered a pardon if she would recant her faith. And her reply, as she stood tied to the stake amongst the piles of wood that would be burned around her, she said, "I did not come here to deny my Lord and Master." And with that, the fire was kindled, and Anne Askew became one of the martyrs of the faith. William Tyndale, you're familiar with, no doubt. It was he who translated the Bible from the original Hebrew and Greek into English so that the common man might read the Word of God for himself. It was his attempt to dispel some of the ignorance and the darkness that abounded and to bring people face to face with the Word of God. And of course, he was hunted down and finally imprisoned. And in 1536, just north of Brussels, he was burned alive for daring to give the Bible to the common people. Jim Elliot brings us up to the 20th century. He became a household name in the mid-1950s when he, along with four other missionaries to Ecuador, were brutally massacred by the Aucca Indians. They were seeking to bring the gospel to that tribe, but they were attacked and speared to death. These brief biographical sketches of four different Christians have all one thing in common, well, two things in common. Their martyrdom for Christ, but also their exemplary Christian testimony in life that they lived for the Lord prior to their death. Now, my purpose this morning is not to prime you for martyrdom, at least I hope that's not the case. But I want to encourage you to live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ and that our lives might be a constant witness of his grace and of his truth. And we can all appreciate seeing the example of someone living an exemplary Christian life before others. A good example helps us by setting a pattern that we perhaps ourselves might seek to follow. So even as we follow in the footsteps of others, we shouldn't forget that perhaps there are others that are watching us and following us. So we want to make sure that we're following the right example so that we are leaving the right example for those that come behind us. And so while we do not pray for their martyrdom, we do pray that we might be able to imitate their bold witness for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that brings us to Stephen this morning, the first Christian martyr. And he has left for us an example of a godly, courageous witness for the Savior. Now his name, Stephen, is actually a Greek name, Stephanos, and the Greek word Stephanos means a victor's crown. And I have no doubt that's exactly what Stephen received from the Lord when he went to glory, the victor's crown. So we're going to take a little bit of time to look at Stephen today and over the next couple of weeks. Today I want us to think about Stephen the man. Next week we'll look at Stephen, his message. And then the week following we'll look at Stephen the martyr. So this morning we want you to look at Stephen the man. And we're going to take verse 8 as our text. Stephen, full of faith and power. Full of faith and power. So we have Stephen, a man with a godly character. He was one of the men, you remember, that was chosen to help to distribute the food to the Greek widows in the church in Jerusalem. And I have no doubt that Luke, the author of this book, has intended for us to take a special look at Stephen. He's given quite a large portion of the book over to Stephen and his testimony. And I think he intends for us to look at his life a little more closely. And one of the things that stands out about the life of Stephen in particular is how often the word full is used alongside his name. You'll notice in verse 3 that the church were to seek out men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5 tells us that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In verse 8, we read of Stephen full of faith and power. There's a great difference between having something and being filled with something. Those character qualities that are seen in the life of Stephen, we are told that he was filled with these things. And I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10. He says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, to the fullest measure. And Stephen exemplifies that for us. He is a Christian whose life is overflowing with the grace of God. I'm reminded of the psalmist in Psalm 23 who speaks of his cup full and running over. So it's not enough for us to simply have grace or faith or some of the Holy Spirit. It surely should be our intention to be filled with these things. Now, the problem is when we evaluate our lives and look a little closely, we probably have to admit that while I have some faith, at other times my faith is lacking. And while I might have some wisdom, I certainly don't have the fullness of wisdom. And while I might have some strength, spiritually speaking, other times I'm regrettably weak. While I might have some love, I certainly don't have as much love as I need and as I want. And the challenge for us this morning is to seek to grow into the fullness of these things in the same way that Stephen did. So I want to point out certain characteristics, certain qualities possessed by Stephen that made him such a godly character. And I trust that you'll bear with me that as we seek to examine them, that we might hope to find them in our own lives also. So we're going to talk about some inner qualities and then finally one outer quality. And I think the reason that God has shown us this in his word is because he works from the inside out. He begins by changing our heart and then our lives should follow. So we're going to think of some of the inner qualities that then manifest themselves in an outward way. So let's have a look at some of these inner qualities in the life of Stephen. Firstly, he was full of the Holy Spirit. That was one of the requirements set down by the apostles in verse 3. They were to seek out men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost. And Stephen is said to have been such a man as this, full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Did he walk around in an ecstatic experience? Was he babbling in unknown tongues as if he was speaking some foreign language? No, that's not what it's about at all. This quality that Stephen possesses, being full of the Holy Ghost, is to do with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the yielding of his life over to the control of the Spirit of God. And Stephen has been under the control of God's Holy Spirit for so long that the fruit of the Spirit is becoming more and more evident in his life. And that's certainly implied there in verse 10, where it states that his opponents were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. God's Spirit was speaking through him. And when Stephen spoke, the message came from the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus told the disciples there in the book of Luke, chapter 12, that they would be delivered up to the synagogues and to the rulers, for they weren't to worry or to take any alarm, because the Holy Spirit would teach them in that very hour what they needed to say. Now, what does it mean for you and I to be filled with the Spirit? It means more than just being indwelt by him. Every believer is indwelt by the Spirit. That's part of what it means to be a Christian. We've come to faith in Jesus Christ and we're sealed unto that faith by the Spirit of God. But to be filled with the Spirit means that we have handed over control of our life to the Spirit of God. Biblically, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is seen in the fruit of the Spirit then being seen in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those qualities are not produced overnight. They come about over a long period of time of being yielded and handed over to the Spirit and walking in fellowship with the Lord. Now, being full of the Spirit does not imply sinless perfection. None of us achieve that in this life. Even the godliest of saints have their areas of imperfections and weaknesses. This fullness of the Spirit is a matter of progressive maturity. We're maturing more and more. It's walking daily in submission and in dependence to the Spirit of God. And as we do that, his fruit grows in our life. And our lives are changed little by little. And he gives us power then to witness for the Savior. And our godly character will be seen by those who watch us. And the things that we say will be backed up by the things that we do. The two will be in harmony. I think the person who claims to be a Christian, but whose life says something completely opposite, is really doing a great disservice to the cause of Christ. The enemy loves nothing more than to point out the inconsistencies between what we say and what we do. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. As he spake of Christ, that love for the Savior was seen in the things that he did from day to day. He was full of the Holy Ghost. We're also told that he was full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. You notice again in verse 3, that was one of the requirements. Choose you out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He had to have some practical wisdom to enable him to help solve the problem that's mentioned in verse 1, the neglect of the widows. He needed wisdom to be able to sort out those problems in a way that everyone was pleased. That takes wisdom. He also is wisdom when it comes to the teaching of Christ and to the Word of God. His mind is filled with the Scripture. There's an ability there to apply the Word of God. You notice in verse 10 that his enemies were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. He had a Spirit-inspired wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge that we have and to apply it under the right circumstances. Stephen not only knew the facts, but he had the wisdom to be able to apply it. Again, Stephen experienced the fullness of the promise that was given in Luke 21 and verse 15 when the Lord said, I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. I will give it to you. A mouth of wisdom. The book of Proverbs reminds us that it is the Lord that giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Where is this wisdom to be found? Well, again, the book of Proverbs reminds us that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Stephen was a man full of wisdom. Are we filled with wisdom? We can be. We can be. Because true wisdom comes from living daily under the power of the Word of God. The way we get wisdom is by spending time in God's book, reading God's Word, and then applying those things that we have learned into our daily life. That's wisdom. Applying the knowledge that we have gained of the Word of God. Knowledge by itself is not enough. We need the application of that knowledge. That's wisdom. We get it from God's Word. There's another way to get it. We can pray for it. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. James is saying, if you're lacking wisdom, come to God and ask for it, and he'll give it to you in full measure, liberally. This wisdom comes from knowing God, from knowing his word, from having spent time with God, and then applying it. It's interesting, the word that's used in the Old Testament for wisdom comes from the root word for skill. And it's used of the craftsmen who had skill and understanding to be able to make the various parts of the tabernacle and the temple and all of the furniture and the features that went with it. So it has this nuance of a skill to make something beautiful. And it refers to being able to take the Word of God and to apply it in such a way that we make it beautiful for others. We make it precious. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of wisdom. You notice in verse 5, he's also been described as a man full of faith. He's full of faith. That's obviously a reference to faith in God. He's so full of faith, he doesn't have any doubts. He's fully believing in God and his promises. He comes to God's word and he believes it fully from beginning to end. He believes in a sovereign God who called out Abram from a pagan country. And through his covenant dealings with Abram and his descendants brought Jesus Christ, the righteous one, to save his people. Stephen believed that. We'll see that next week in his message. But he not only believed the historical accounts, he believed in the sovereignty of God in everyday life. He believed that God ruled over history, that God was fully in control. And in his mind, he has no need to worry, for God is in control of all things. Stephen rested in that belief. And instead of being nervous or fearful or trembling before his accusers, he's calm and he's confident. And he's free from fear and anxiety because he's full of faith. He's believing all that God has said, and he's willing to risk his very life for Christ. That's what it means to have faith. That we're so believing in what God has said, but we're willing to risk everything upon it. You see, you can only be full of faith if you believe in a sovereign God who rules over all things and who even uses the wicked deeds of evil men to accomplish his great purposes. If God's predestination means, as some say that it means, that God simply looked down through history and saw in advance those that would believe in him, and then decided to put them onto the list of his elect people, then it becomes dependent upon man's will and not upon God's will. Man becomes sovereign and the determiner of what happens. Can you imagine God seeing that I would choose him and say, well, that's good because that's what I wanted anyway? Or when Israel stoned her prophets, God said, well, I'd rather they wouldn't do that. But I guess I'll have to work that into my plan some way. How can we trust a God who did not work out all things according to the counsel of his own will? When we join with Stephen in understanding just how God is sovereign and working even through the suffering and perhaps even through his martyrdom, then we can be full of faith. Leaving all things in the hands of God and relying upon him. Notice fourthly, he's full of grace. He's full of grace. You'll remember, of course, that it was said of our Savior in John 1 that our Savior was full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus was God's grace personified. Now, when it comes to Stephen, he not only has a personal understanding and experience of God's grace that's revealed in the cross, but Stephen is going to show his opponents that great grace of God worked out in his life. He's going to show them the grace of God freely bestowed upon even the most undeserving. Because a person who understands God's grace is a person then who is able to show God's grace to others, and that's what Stephen is about to do. He's going to exhibit a gracious spirit even towards those that are hostile towards him. He didn't curse his persecutors as they threw stones at him to crush his bones. He blessed. In verse 60 of chapter 7, we're told that he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He reflected the Savior's prayer for those that crucified. Grace is bestowing favor and kindness upon those that don't deserve it. Those that were hateful towards him. Those that were stoning him at that point. Those who certainly from an earthly perspective didn't deserve the kindness shown to them from Stephen, but he gave it anyway. He was full of grace. Oh, that we might be filled with grace. When people rub us the wrong way, that we respond with grace. That we're ready to forgive like Stephen was. And that since God has been gracious to us, that we might then be gracious to others. These wonderful characteristics being seen in his life, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, full of faith, full of grace, full of power. Stephen was full of power. That's because the Holy Spirit gives power. The Lord Jesus said right at the beginning of the book of Acts, verse 8 in chapter 1, ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me. That was Stephen, a man filled with power. God was working through him. You notice in verse 8 it said that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. We said it earlier, God can do miracles any time He pleases. And we certainly should not limit God by our theology or by our faith. But the biblical evidence is that this gift of performing miracles was limited to what we call this transitional period. They're moving out of Judaism into New Testament Christianity, and the reason for the miracles was to confirm the testimony of the apostles. God's mighty power is shown in their lives. God is authenticating that message. Stephen was full of power. So we have all of these inner qualities on display. Full of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, faith, grace and power are all seen in his character. I believe it's God's desire for every Christian to be filled with these things. To have power for service. To have power over temptation. To have power over sin. To have power to do what's right. You read in Ephesians 1 and verse 18 that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The Lord would have us to be strong in service for him, not to be weak, not to be anemic Christians, but filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. One last inner quality. Courage. Courage. Stephen had power, and because he had power, he had courage. He had the courage to keep on speaking and teaching and preaching Christ, no matter what else was happening to him. They set up false witnesses in verse 13, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Stephen had courage to preach an unpopular message. He had courage to speak a message that he knew wasn't going to be received well, that would be misrepresented, that he would be lied against, that false witnesses would be raised up to bear testimony against him, but nevertheless, his courage was such that he never flinched, and he never faded, that he continued to preach on, though he knew that might bring him to his end. When it comes to the end of his defense at the end of chapter 7, he's standing before his accusers and the council of the betrayers and the murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says to them in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers." He said, your fathers did it before you. They slew the prophets who brought you warning of the Messiah to come, and you are their children, in that you have taken that very Messiah, and you are his betrayers and murderers. That's a bold message. And only those filled with the Holy Ghost and grace and power and wisdom can have that courage to stand forth in the day of persecution and be unflinching. Stephen was a man of courage. We should be challenged by these characteristics and ask if we cannot be filled with these same things also. So there's all of these inner qualities that then become evident in one outer quality that's mentioned for us in Acts chapter 6. And we see it at the end of verse 15. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Those inner qualities, the faith, the power, the grace, the courage, all of those things then became evident on the outside. They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, I'm not sure what an angel looks like. But Stephen's appearance, his countenance, was such before the council there in Jerusalem. Now, I'm presuming that Luke received this report from Paul, who, of course, was there that day when Stephen was being stoned. So whether it's some kind of radiant glow that has taken his face, something like Moses experienced when the Lord passed by him and Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, and when he came down from the mountain, the people asked him to put a veil over his face. Such was the shining of his face before the people. Was Stephen's face shining? Was there a calmness, a sereneness that was there? We can't actually say. But we do know that his appearance wasn't normal. It wasn't what they expected. Maybe they expected him to cower in fear or to beg for his life. But it seems that his face had the appearance of that of an angel. I think it's simply the description of a person who has been close with God, who reflects some of the glory of God as a result of being in God's presence. And perhaps we can all think of people that we know to have walked closely with God, and in their presence there was a peace, a sereneness, a calmness, a heavenly glow, call it what you will. But there was something about them in their outer appearance that reflected that this is a person who has spent time with God. It is my prayer, I hope it's yours also, that our outward life, that which appears before others, might reflect in the same way as Stephen's did, that we have been in the presence of God, that we are filled with his Holy Ghost, that we are full of spiritual wisdom, full of power, full of faith, full of courage, full of grace. And all of that inside of us can't be contained so that it leaks everywhere in our life. It overflows into everything that we do. And that it might be said of us that we too have the face of an angel. A life spent in the presence of God that reflects his glory and his grace and shows to the world a life lived for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be like Stephen, a man full of faith and power. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning. Amen.